Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Verses 3 through 9. We'll start in verse 3. Jesus, in the middle of teaching a parable, he said, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and it did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Verse 14 says, "The sower soweth the word." And so today, for just a few moments, I want to teach you on this thought: soil preparation. Soil preparation. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you today for your word is so precious to us. Lord, more precious than gold or silver. We thank you today. God, let us hear what the Spirit is saying today. Help us to receive this word. Let it encourage us, challenge us, and change us today. We're going to praise you for it. We ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone said amen. Clap your hands one more time to the Lord if you're thankful for the word of God this morning. Thank you, Jesus. You can be seated. God bless you. Soil preparation. You know, just something to kind of keep in mind as we head into this lesson is, where did God form us from? The soil, the ground. He took us out of the ground, and that's where he created man in his image. And in this parable that he is talking about a man who has property. He's a farmer, so to speak, and he is sowing seed. But when he gets to the end, he says, "Make sure now, hear, he that hath ears, let him hear." There's something I want you to understand in this and get out of this, and we're going to get into more of the revelation of it here in just a moment. But he made a point to say, now the sower is sowing the word. Now we have anytime you know that I put a lot of emphasis on being people of the word. We cannot be the people of God if we're not people of the Word, because the Word is God. We've got to be people of the Word. We must have Word in our life. It's something that is precious and valuable to us. And the sower in this parable, while it seems that he is sowing seed, he is sowing Word on different soils. The importance of God's Word in our life, it just cannot be overstated. It can't be emphasized enough. Don't let anybody ever, you know, beat you down by saying, you know, calling you a Bible thumper and a fanatic and things like that. And this word is important. And we go by what the Scripture says, that we should meditate in this word day and night. That's how you become a blessed man, a blessed person. That's how you get the blessings of God in your life is staying in the Word of God and understanding it, searching it out. You don't have to have a degree in theology, but if you spend time in the Word will get into you. It'll get there. You'll find yourself remembering and quoting Scripture that you didn't even know you remembered, because it's there, and the Spirit will remind you of those things. And it's so vital today that we get as much of God's word as we can, and that we get into the practice of listening to what the Spirit is saying and listening to the preached word of God and listening and reading the word of God, because the prophet Amos said there would come a day. He prophesied this, that there will be a famine in the land, but it won't be for bread and it won't be for water. He said, but it will be a famine for hearing the words of the Lord. It's not a famine of preaching, it's a famine of hearing. People would begin to turn away. That's maybe why Paul just encouraged Timothy. He said, preach the word. Be instant, in season and out of season. Preach this word of God, and because there is a time coming, said, when they will turn away, having itching ears, and they'll heap teachers unto themselves. They won't hear the word anymore, but they'll hear all the theories. They'll hear all the conspiracy theories. They'll hear all the newscasts. They'll hear all the internet that's going around, but they'll stop listening to the word of the Lord. And so I want to make sure that I have made it a practice, that I'm storing up. I'm not going to be caught in this famine of not hearing, because I don't want to fall away. There is a falling away coming, and there are people that will turn away from the truth. That's what he told Timothy. He said they will turn from truth because they want something else that satisfies their senses. And I want something that makes me whole. I want the word of God. And so the importance of God's word, again, it can't be overstated. In Deuteronomy 8:3, the Lord, after he talked with Israel about feeding them with manna from heaven, he said, I did this to show you that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. We live by, our life is tied to God's word. 2 Timothy 3:16, Paul said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Friend, we need the word of God, and the word comes from the Lord, the Creator, the eternal God, our Savior. This word is His word. Bible says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. His word is eternal. This is not something new coming down the line. This word has existed forever. Psalm 119 and 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. In Isaiah 40 and 18, he said, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Praise God. Jesus would reiterate that when he said in Matthew 24 and 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And finally, Peter wrote to the church, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Friend, we need the word. And if there's anything I can count on, is something that has stood the test of time. The word is still here. Words that were spoken centuries ago, we still live by today. We still preach these words. We get inspiration from these words. There are words that were spoken thousands of years ago that came to pass. We see the validity of the word, that it, if it says it, it's going to happen. Even God would testify of his word that it will accomplish what I set it out to do. It's not going to return void. And so his word works. It still works today. And people are so hungry for so many things. It's almost like when Paul was preaching to those people and said they were just always wanting to hear or learn something else, something new. They're just always looking for something. Couldn't be satisfied with something that was settled. They had to find something new, had to find some new doctrine, had to find some new story, some new theory. And friend, I'm glad today I don't have to look anywhere. I don't have to be tossed about with every wind of doctrine, but I can stand on the solid rock of the Word of God today. It doesn't get old. It doesn't get tired. It's the living, breathing Word of God, and it doesn't stop doing what it's always done. It changes our lives. It gives us instruction, and I'm thankful for the Word today. There's nothing wrong with the Word. Our salvation is tied directly to the Word of God. Our salvation comes through the Word. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and it was that flesh that dwelt among us that died on Calvary's cross so that we could have eternal life. Paul said it like this in Romans 1 and 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." That's what Peter just told us. He said, "This word, which is the word which by the gospel that's preached unto you, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." I'm not ashamed of the plan of salvation, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of that. It's worked for centuries. It's still working today. People are still being baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. The blood of Jesus is still washing people whiter than snow. It's still changing lives. It's still setting people right. I'm not ashamed of that. That's something you can count on. It will work. The Bible says we also are born again, not by corruptible seed, but by incorruptible, by the Word of God. I'm so thankful for the Word of God today. If we were to go through the Scripture, we would find that the Word is a lamp and a light, that it is the sword of the Spirit. One writer said, "Your words are sweeter than honey." The Bible says we should desire the sincere milk of the Word of God so we can grow. Job said, "I desire your words more than my necessary food." The psalmist said, "I have hid thy word in my heart that I might not sin against you." It is infallible. The word contains no lie. God cannot lie. It is impossible for him to lie. And in the beginning was the word, and the word was God. It is truth. It is holy. It is just, and it is pure. It is better than great riches. It is better than gold or silver. And the psalmist in Psalm 119, over and over again, he would make the statement how he loves God's word. And then finally, in case we needed any last qualifier to how good the word is, John 1 and 1, "In the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word was God." In verse 14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." There can't be anything better than that. The Word is God. The Word was manifest in the flesh and it dwelt among us. And the sower soweth the Word. And so we see that here there's a seed, there's a sower, and there's ground, there's soil. But in each case, something would happen. He would sow some that would fall by the wayside and it would be devoured by the fowls of the air. Some would fall on stony ground and would burn up because they had no depth and had no root, so they would wither away. Some went among thorns and it would try to grow, but it was choked out. And then finally, some fell on good ground and it did yield fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. And we thank God for that. The word and the ground, or the soil. And what Jesus is trying to tell them, because they don't understand this, they're like, we don't get what you're saying. And he said, finally, and if we jump over to verse 13, he said, "Do you not know this parable? Then how will you know all parables? If you can't get this one, how are you going to understand anything? The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they've heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their heart. These are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, so they endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things entering in, chokes the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And then these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And Jesus is mirroring. He said, what happens in the natural, it also happens in the spiritual. And we are formed from the soil of the ground. And the preacher, the evangelist, the missionary, the saint, the Bible study teacher, all, every time they speak from this word, they are sowing the word of God. They are sowing the seed of the gospel. And we've already proven there is nothing wrong with the seed. There's nothing wrong with the word. The seed is good. It was the ground that would prevent growth. It was the ground that would prevent having fruit bore and be it producing a harvest. And if we are the soil, it makes sense to me that we need to start looking at some soil preparation. Brother Huntley preached on this this week at the conference we were at, and immediately I knew. I said, I'm going to take some of this, because he was preaching it in a little different angle, because he was talking to pastors and evangelists and pastors' wives and things. But I knew, I said, this just fits perfectly with where we're going this year, that we begin to understand that we need to make sure that we are ready for the Word of God. If we ever walk out of a church service and say, I didn't get anything out of that message, don't blame it on the one preaching. Check the soil. If we're not getting anything when we read, I'm reading, but I'm just not getting anything anymore. Check the soil. Because the word is just as good as it's always been. It's still got all the power that it always had. The word is going to be the word, and it's forever settled. It's God's holy word. It's pure. It's righteous. It's got the power to save us. Friend, the word is perfect. But the soil is fallible. The soil is carnal. And the Bible says the carnal mind is enmity with God. And it can't be subject. It'll fight God. It'll fight God's word. And so we need to make sure we're doing some soil preparation. We need to make sure we're getting ourselves ready for the word of God. So powerful. There is no problem with the seed. I cannot find fault with God's word. I just can't. We must prepare the soil so that these exceeding great and precious promises that have been given to us through God's word can produce fruit in our life. First of all, we must have faith in the word. Hebrews 4:2 said, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached, that eternal word, that powerful word, that holy and pure word, that word of salvation, it did not profit them, because it was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. He said, if you have ears to hear, let him hear. Hear what I'm saying. The seed is okay, because it would grow when it found earth. But there are times when the soil is not good for the word. It's not good. We haven't done what we need to do to make sure we're ready to receive the word of God. It's hard to walk into church and just cold start into revival. It's hard to just, I know sometimes we feel like, well, it was all I could do to get here, and I get that. But friend, when we are walking with God and living for God and we serve this great God, we should be spending time with God, and we should be, as we come to His house, preparing ourselves, because when we come here, we're here to come in with thanksgiving and to come in with praise, but then we're here to receive as the sower begins to sow the seed. As the word of God begins to go forth, we want it to find good ground so it can help us through our trials and help us through our tests and help us to defeat sin in our lives. We want to make sure that our ground is ready for the word of God. We've got to make sure as living soil that we are ready for the living word. Hello? We're going to be frustrated if the soul's not ready. If we come in here and we eat up with bitterness and anger and strife, and you can't hear what the preacher's saying. When you come in here and you're all tied up with everything else that's going on in the world, it's harder and harder in this country today that if you're just caught up in everything in this world, friend, you're going to have a hard time hearing what the Spirit is saying while you sit in the presence of God. The Bible instructs me not to entangle myself with the affairs of this world. I want to make sure that I'm focused on God and focused on His Word and just doing everything I can to make sure I'm ready for the Word of God. I want to make sure that when the Word goes forth to me, when I hear it, that it is mixed with faith so it can profit. You know, it reminds me of the day of Pentecost. It said, and they that gladly received the word, were baptized. Or when they were ready. Peter had preached a message and their hearts were pricked. They had been broke down. The walls had come down and they were just like, what shall we do? And they could hear the answer. They didn't fight Peter on what he said, but it said they that gladly received the word, they were baptized. And about that day, 3,000 souls were added to the church. Oh, it profited them to hear and to receive the word of God that day into good ground. Look how it blew up. It went from 120 to 3,120, just like that. And that's what God's word can do. It tells us the success of not just hearing the word, but hearing and doing the word. Then you would be like a house that is built on a solid rock, that when the winds come and the rains fall and the storms beat against the house, that house would stand. But those that hear the word but do nothing with it, you're like a house built on the sand. And when the rains come and the storms come and the floods come and the wind begins to beat on that house, he said that house fell and great was the fall of it. I want to get the soil prepared for the word of God. James 1:21 said, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. That word superfluity means abundance. Get rid of all the filthiness and the naughtiness, the things, and that word is wickedness. Get rid of those things and then receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. These are ways to prepare ourselves for the word. Jeremiah 4:3, thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. He said it doesn't work to just, you got a field, but it's unplowed and it's full of rocks and it's full of stumps and it's full of thorns. Hosea said it like this, sow to yourself in righteousness and reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. But look what he said, before you start trying to seek God, break up the ground. Because what good is it when you finally find where He is, but you can't receive what He's got for you? He said, the Lord is going to come and rain righteousness upon you. But until you break up that hard, dry, tough, full of rocks, full of stumps, full of thorns, until you break that ground up and you plow that ground and you get it ready for the word, it won't profit anything. It has the ability to grow. It has the ability to produce. It has the ability to change your life. If you lived and you were a farmer by trade and you lived by your crops, you would make sure that the soil was prepared. You wouldn't just go out and throw your seed onto the ground that was full of grass and briars and rocks and sticks and stumps. But you would take time to get rid of things, set them aside, lay it aside, get it out of the way so you can plow it up, so you can make those good rows and you can get it ready. It's exposing what's underneath that good soil that's ready. And then you sow that seed and your crops begin to grow. and you are blessed by your harvest, and you feed your family, and you clothe your family, and you shelter your family, and you feed yourselves, and you realize what a blessing it is to have great fertile ground. Nobody buys farmland that's 40 acres of concrete because you can't plant nothing on it. It's hard. You can sow the seed on it and it will just die where it is. But they look for fertile ground. They, you know, some places they say get that black dirt. I don't know what, but they say it's rich in nutrients and minerals, and you, they can just, some people that know it, they can just look at it and say, man, this is soil for growing right here. And they break those fields up, and we watch that out where we live in the country. Sometimes we'll come by and we'll see these great crops and we see what they're growing, and you can come by a couple of weeks later, they've harvested and it looks a mess. And you come by a couple of weeks later and then it's nothing but plowed ground. There's no sign of anything else that was there. It's nothing but plowed dirt. You can see the rows and it's as far as you can see. And you come by a couple of weeks later and it's green. They didn't come in and just sow seed on top of all that stuff they harvested and where they rode through it and cutting it up. They came back and they prepared the soil and got ready for the next harvest. Every time I get ready to come to the house of the Lord, I want to start preparing this soil. I want to pray before I get here. You know, we have the prayer room opens at 8:30. Oh, it would be great if people started saying, you know what? It's Sunday. It's church day. Let's just go early and pray. Why? Because when you pray, you start breaking up the fallow ground. When you start praying and worshiping and seeking God before service, you're breaking up the ground. You're getting the soul ready for the Word of God so you can hear. You can hear what's going on. You can hear what the Spirit is trying to say to you. You can make sure that my ground is ready for the Word of God. We must prepare the soil. We can't seek God with hard hearts, untilled ground. The world will never find a place to grow. And that's what Jesus was telling them when he began to explain. The sower sows the word. He sows the word of God. This is that precious, wonderful word. But he said, some of it is sown, that is sown by the wayside. It's like the people who, they hear the word, but then Satan cometh immediately and takes away the word that was sown into their heart. It's sown by the wayside. That's people who hear it, but they're really not concerned about it. Oh, good lesson today. What time are we going to eat? Oh, that's tough, Pastor. Yeah, it is. Plowing's tough work. It's no big deal. Great message today. Sometimes you want to check yourself when you get home from church. Ask yourself, what was the title of the message today? You remember what you ordered? Can you remember what God served you? And then he said, there are those that where the ground is stony. And the seed hits stony ground. And when they hear the word, immediately they receive it with gladness. This is great. I've never heard anything like this. But it's unapplied in their life. And they have no root in themselves. Again, you could read Psalm 1 and read about what makes you like a tree planted by the river. Rooted, grounded. Rooted and grounded in his word. But some people hear it. Oh, it affects their emotions. And so they receive it with gladness. Oh, I've never heard anything like this. I love this. But they don't want to apply it. They are a hearer of the word and not a doer. And they have deceived themselves. And so they hear the word, but because it has no root, because they're not applying it, because they don't take time to try to understand it, as soon as something happens that hurts their feelings, they're out the door. As soon as something goes on in their life, the world gets turned upside down, they blame God. Well, if God really loved me, if that word was really true, this would, and they have no understanding of this great word of God, and they're offended, and they leave. That's stony ground. The heart has been unchanged, because God said, I'll take the heart of stone out and put in a heart of flesh, and then you'll keep my ways. And so if you don't let it, if you don't apply it, it won't change your heart. You're just going through the motions, trying to fit into the mold. But that's not what the Word is trying to make you do. The Word is here to change us and make us better. And then you have those that are where the Word is sown among thorns. They are the ones that hear the Word, but then the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. Oh, if I could just, you know, work them, they work themselves to death for the next dollar. Got to have that extra paycheck. Got to have more money. And there's nothing wrong with having a good worth ethic. But friend, he said it's a deceitfulness, because it will never be able to supply. It has deceived you into thinking, if I can get to this point, I'll have it all. But without God's word, you have nothing at all. And he said, don't let those riches can make wings, it says, and fly away and disappear in a moment. Man, the economy can turn upside down, and that's it. That's over. Man, we know people that have, you know, you got a good job, and all of a sudden they come in and say, we're eliminating your position. And now, what am I going to do? It happens all the time. Don't be deceived by the security that we think money provides. Sure, it takes money to live in this world, but the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. And then he said, it's the lust of other things. Other things entering in. We let that in, but we don't let the word in. We let everything else in, but we won't let the word in. And so this now, when the word gets here and it finally finds a place, it falls on this ground, there's something else living there. And it chokes it out. It causes it to be unfruitful. The word is there, but it can't grow, because there's more time spent in the pursuit of worldly things. There's more time spent in the lust of other things. The Bible says in the last day, men would be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. What is God? God is the Word. And there are people that they love getting things in their life. They love what they can post on social media to show everybody how good they're doing, but they're not pursuing God, and they're not preparing themselves for what God's trying to say to them. Let me tell you, it's more than just when you're here. But this is what we do. We keep this, just like a farmer has land that provides, this body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And we have that gift from God, and this treasure, it says, in earthen vessels. We must prepare this soil every day, because we're going to pray and talk to God every day. And I want to hear what he wants to say to me, but I don't want to have a hard heart. I don't want to have just fallow ground where no matter what he says to me in prayer, I can't even receive it. I'm not changed by it, because I didn't prepare my soil. I want to spend time in worship. I want to make sure that I am repenting daily. I want to make sure that I am searching and examining myself. I want to humble myself under the hand of God so that he can, when it's time, exalt me. I want to just be content with the things I have, knowing that he has said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And I want to treasure this word more than anything, because what I have here is the Word of God. I know we can look at it and handle it and say, well, you know, it's a book and somebody printed it in a shop somewhere, but it is the Word of God that has been translated. It is the Word of God that we have, and I'm thankful today for it. And I know that much studying and much learning, one man said Paul was mad because of it. But listen, if I'm going to go crazy, I'd rather go crazy searching for God than I won't go crazy in this world. If I'm going to go mad, I'll go mad seeking God. I don't want to go mad seeking the world. I want to prepare this ground. I want to keep this ground good and fertile and broken up. Make sure I'm getting the weeds out, getting the thorns and the briars out, getting those things that would choke this precious word of God. Jesus said, when we bring forth much fruit, it glorifies our Father. I want to glorify Him. The Bible says that we glorify God when we let our light shine and people see our good works. But if we're not in the Word, there won't be any works. We've got to have the Word of God. We've got to get back, friend, to daily prayer. Spending time. What does Jesus say about prayer? He said, when you pray, there is a reward. He said, but if you pray hard-hearted, you can't receive it. He said, when you pray, the Father, He sees that, and He will reward you openly, but he'll just give it to you. He'll reward, but you can't even receive it because the soul's not ready for it. Let's pray. Let's get back to daily prayer. Let's get back to corporate prayer. And let's get back to prayer and fasting. Fasting has become a lost art in the church. Now it's, there's so many, let's do this fast, let's do that fast, and we've created fast. But I tell you, it's time to get back to Bible fast. Get back to a fast like the Word talks about. And, you know, I get it. I believe that God honors things. And don't get me wrong, I've done social media fast. I'm fasting sodas for a month. We've done all that. We've had the 40-day fast. And the reason we just kind of pulled off that, because about halfway through that, it was nothing but text messages. Hey, we can't have bread. Does that mean I can't have pasta? It was like, can I still? We're back on this week. Does that mean we can have milk now? I mean, it was just never ending. I was like, that's what happens when we try to create a fast. We had a 40-day diet going on, man. And I know that we saw some things and God was blessing, but it was hard to stick to that and do those things. And our flesh just wants to find every loophole it can. So just get back to Bible fasting. And just get back to hey, if we're going to fast, then fast. You know, drop that meal. You know, if you want to get off social media, man, that don't even have to be a fast. That's just good for you. Just get off of it. You know, if you don't want to drink Coca-Cola's, that's just good for you. Just do that. But, friend, if you're going to fast, you know, drink your Cokes, whatever. But if you're going to fast, fast. I'm not going to eat today. I'm not going to eat for this meal. I'm not going to eat for 3 days, whatever it is. But just make your mind up and fast. Do it. Do it before the Lord. Do it for the right reasons. Do it to break up the fallow ground. Do it so that you can get closer to God. But get back to fasting. Jesus, you can't ignore it. He said there are some things that only come forth with prayer and fasting. We can't eliminate it or we're going to deal with some things. There's some things that we're going to keep dealing with because we refuse to fast. We can't give up food. It's like a disease in this country. We can't give up food. Don't get me wrong. I love it. I have tried to quit things that are bad for me, and it don't matter how much I try. I'm going to do it. If I have to go grocery shopping, I'm breaking whatever rule I just made, because I'm going to walk past donuts somewhere in that store, and I'm going to get them. I'm ashamed of it, but I will. And I will eat them before, I will open them before I get home. I make sure that I put them in the passenger seat so I can have one on the way home. I love food that's bad for me. I love snack cakes. I love Reese's. I love those things. And I love donuts and stuff like that. Those bready, full of sugar, just and probably 90 chemicals I can't name. But, boy, it tastes good. We have a problem in this country. We've been made to be addicts of things. And we've become addicted to entertainment. You better be glad I'm running out of time. But we've become addicted to entertainment, to pleasures, to the flesh, yeah, to carnality. We, 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 you know, we want to twist. The scripture says, well, no man ever yet hated his own flesh, so I'm just doing all this because I love myself. That's not what he's talking about. That's not what he's talking about. Foods, things like that, we're just trained to be a certain way in this world today. And there was a time when things were a lot simpler, and this word meant more to people than you could imagine. People did not forsake the assembling of themselves together. They came to every revival. They traveled miles for revival and things like that. Brother Huntley made mention of something. He said, we often make this reference. He said, why is it? And he said, in another country, why is it that we can preach the same word that we just preached back at home? We can get before a crowd, a stadium full of people. We can get up and we can preach the same message we just preached at home. And he said, at home, maybe a little altar call, and then people left and went home. He said, and we preached this same word here in this country, and 2,000 received the Holy Ghost. And there's healings and miracles and signs and wonders that start happening. It's because they're not distracted. They've prepared the ground. They're ready for. They came to hear what the Spirit was going to say. They didn't walk those miles and pack in those buses and get there so they could be entertained. But they came. God, speak. God, heal me. You know, in the scripture, they would bring people. Wherever the word was at, they would bring people to where the word was so they could get a healing. Hey, Jesus would be preaching the word, and they brought people, heal them. Heal my son. Heal my daughter. Heal me. Heal this man on this bed. They would come to where the word was, and they believed healing would happen where the word was at. Do we still believe that? Come in this place and say, you know what? I'm coming to the place where healing's at. Healing is declared in God's word. There's no reason for us not to have it. We need to prepare the ground, prepare the soil, so that when the word is going forth, you know, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. But we need to prepare it. That's one of the fruits of the word is faith. But you can be tangled up and it'll choke the faith right out of you. So prayer and fasting, consecration, words we don't talk about much anymore. Come on to the music, darling. You know, paying attention to the word, meditating in his word. You know, we do the Bible reading plan, and I like that. It's good. People get to read the word, but don't just read through there as fast as you can. That's all you do. Spend time in the word. Start having a desire for God's word. Start, you know, pursuing God's word. Start loving God's word. Get a passion for God's word, and then live, like it says, live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I want to make sure that, you know, at the end of my life, whenever you can stand with me, we always say, well, I want to be able to say like Paul, I've finished my course. I finished my course. Guess where your course comes from? The word of God. Order my steps in your word, Lord. I fought a good fight. The word is the sword of the Spirit. The shield of faith. Preparation of the gospel, helmet of salvation, friend, all connected to the word of God. The whole armor of God is the word of God. It's the word of God. So you have a hard time finishing your course and fighting a good fight without the word. In the year that we return, let's return back to some of these basic things. When we first started, all we had was, remember how much you would read this word when you first got in church? Man, I probably in about 3 days I read the whole New Testament. Just sit down. I kept a pocket Bible and I just kept If I had 5 minutes, I would open it and read as much as I could in 5 minutes. Go back to work. And I would do that. And in portions, I'd get on break. I wouldn't go eat lunch. I would just sit and read. I wanted to get all of it. I said, I'm behind. Everybody else knows everything. I'm behind. I need to know. So we would read, and we would read stuff. And we would just, do you remember just reading his words sometimes and you would start crying? You would just start weeping because it just touched you. And it was either because it convicted you or gave you joy that's unspeakable, or it just revealed to you more and more the love of God that he had for you. Do you miss God speaking to you like that in your study time? Let's break up the ground. Let's prepare the soil. And let's get back to the fruit of this word. Let's get back to a place where this word can work in our lives. Amen? Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you so much for the word of God today. Thank you, Lord. And God, we know that there is nothing wrong with your word. Father, we are the soil. Let the word find good ground. God, let us take the steps to break up that fallow ground. Let us take the steps, God, to get our hearts prepared so that when we sit in this holy house called by your name, and when we hear the word of God preached, and when you speak to us, God, in prayer, that it finds a place to grow, Lord, to produce in us, God, what you want to do. We thank you for that today, and we love you today, and we honor you today. We thank you for all this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.